We're up to Simin Shin Samach Vav Seif Beis. The Ramah Hagah. It's page Reish Lamet, which comes after page 458. After 458, we have Reish Lamed, the third word on the line, Hagah, the Ramah. We have discussed yesterday, we went over in detail with all the different types of camps. There's a camp, stomach camp, the Lager, and then there's the camp for the soldiers, and there's the Shayara, and we learned about the Yoishev HaHolim and the Sukkos. We discussed a little bit the differences between these different types of camps. Alumnus, what's the Be'er Halacha, the Mishtabura, the Be'uri Hagra, many approaches to the alumnus of what is the purpose, what type of encampment did Chazal require in Eruvei Chatzeres. Now we go to another example, a person's on a ship. And each individual has rented his own cabin, and you want to carry from your cabin to the dining room, right? The Titanic. You want to go. What was that ship called? The one that sunk. What was that called? What? No, not the one. The modern that happened 2 months ago. What? Whatever it was. It was cool. Whatever it was. So Hagah, Batim, Shebesvina, the Batim on a boat, Shrichim Erev, so the rule is that...
You're allowed to carry a life preserver.
Take your own. Bring your own life preserver when you go on a ship. Batim, Shebesvina, Shrichim Erev, the Batim, Shebesvina require an Erev. If you want to carry from your own cabin to the hallway, to the dining room, wherever it is, you have to make an Erev Chatzeros. Even though the Mechitzin has walls, because the Svina, we learned this before, has the status of Rishus Hayachit. And of course, we're going in a situation where the boat is at least four Tvachim by four Tvachim, I mean, that's not much. And the walls of the boat are 10 Tvachim tall. And the Mishnah Berurah says that we measure the walls from the walls from the bottom of the boat, even though part of those walls are sunk, are immersed in the water. We measure the cabin, we measure the area where you stand. If you have in front of you walls that are 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, you are in a Rishus Hayachid. If in this boat there are individual cabins and they want to carry into the center where they place that is shared, that is a classic case of going from Rishus Hayachid to an area that's shared by one person to an area that's shared by a group, and midrabanim require an eruv chatzeros. And the Chabad Ramah is telling us that this does not fall under the leniency of the shayara or the machane, less than 10, more than 10. What we discussed yesterday, there were different leniencies. A shayara, what is a shayara? What is a machane? Is there a difference between less than 10, more than 10, all the various scenarios? This does not fall into any one of those categories. A boat, by definition, is something which is more permanent. It's not something where you have soldiers stationed on a boat for the purpose of security. That's not what the idea is all about. And you need to make an eruv chatzeros.
Next question?
Yeah.
First of all, two questions. One, it's temporary, right? Second of all, none of the furniture, anything of the deer on the boat, the room that you assigned to belongs to you.
So we're going to a case, where you have full... It's just a room. There's no furniture. It doesn't make a difference. You bring your own bed, your own cot. Enechlam, you're asking good questions. We're this called something called Tfisas Yad. Enechlam, we're going to learn about that in detail, and hopefully we'll learn some Halach L'maisa. I'll try to prepare something. I have some good storm.
So he's talking different type of boat.
Let's just get the basic Yisoda. So a boat that's bare bones, empty. Bare bones, you have bring your own bed, bring your own cot. Okay, you have a boat, there's nothing on the boat. There are four different cabins, and you're traveling across the ocean, across the river, wherever you're going, along the Mediterranean, wherever you are, and you and three other people, four families, each one rents a cabin. And the cabin is completely empty, but it's your cabin. You have rented it, it's your. And the owner of the boat does not have any tefisia, there are no utilities, there's nothing inside the cabin. Bring your own bed, bring your own cot, bring your own furniture, anything you want for this trip is your. So there's no tefisas yad from any owner.
This is different than a cruise ship.
Absolutely, because on a cruise ship, you're really a guest, like going to a hotel. You eat in the dining room. Absolutely. This is like an apartment. This is like an apartment. An apartment where you own all of the utilities and there is no tfisas yad. When a person goes to a hotel or goes on a cruise, you're a guest because you eat in the dining room. And the dining room is the balabais. So technically, you do not need meruvi chatzeros in a hotel and in on a cruise ship. So that's what it says here. The in endless fina mechitzos. Let's say the Rama says, let's say the boat is not a mechitzos. Also, the tavel was fina rak by amos. If the boat is not a mechitzos, meaning that it's a carmelis because it's a shallow boat. It's just an open boat. It could be that it's an open area. Then the boat has the status of a carmelis, and you're not allowed to carry on the boat more than dalad amos. Just like a flat barge. Right, a barge doesn't have mechitzos, and you're not allowed to carry on the barge if you're stuck there more than dalid amos. Now there is a leniency if the boat is called a, Mishnah points this out, if the boat is a carmelis, you're allowed to transfer from the boat to the water. The water has the status of a carmelis. We learned that in the beginning. A yam is called a carmelis. The rule is you are allowed to transfer from one type of carmelis to another carmelis. If you have a karfef, which is called a... Wait, that was different. That was part of the law. You have a karfef, it's a carmelis. And then outside the karfef, you have an open area of limb, that's a carmelis. You're allowed to transfer between the karfef and the carmelis, if I'm not mistaken. So here is the Mishnah says here explicitly that in this situation you have a boat, and the boat does not have walls. The boat has the status of a carmelis. The yam, the water outside the boat, is definitely a carmelis. You're allowed to transfer from the water to take water and bring water into the boat, or take from the boat and bring it onto the yam, as long as you don't travel from total more than dalad amos. If the boat is a reshus hayachid, if the boat has walls, four walls that are 10 tefachim tall, you're not allowed to transfer from the yam to the boat, from the boat to the yam, because you're going from a reshus hayachid to a carmelis, or a carmelis to a reshus hayachid, unless you do the technique that we learned, where you make the water, you put out a board, and you create a box, and you go through the hole where you have good aches, and you make good aches, and you make the water beneath you into a reshus. That was a little way back. There's a technique how you can remove wastewater from a boat into the carmelis. But when you don't make that tikkun and you just want to transfer from the boat to the yam, it is aser because you're in a reshus hayachid and the water is a carmelis. You may not go from reshus hayachid to a carmelis or vice versa. But if the boat is a carmelis, then you are allowed to go from the boat to the yam because you're going from one type of carmelis to another type of carmelis, which is permitted without restriction as long as you don't go more than dalid amos. And there's another one of the point halacha that Mishnah points out, and that is if even though you're not allowed, let's say the boat is a reshus hayachid, and there, our example, we have four independent cabins, and you have not made for Shabbos meruvi chatzeros. Therefore, you're not allowed to take from your cabin to the joint area. But if there is an object resting in the open area before Shabbos begins, that you're allowed to carry throughout the entire boat. That's a similar look. We will mention this. If you're in an apartment building and you have not made an Eruvi Chatzeros, you're not allowed to take from your apartment into the lobby. But if there's an object that's already in the lobby, you can take that object, you can carry with it throughout the entire building, as long as you don't take it into one of the apartments because it was resting within a Rishus Liach before Shabbos began. Okay, Nihalacha Yisif Gimel. Habayis shemanichim bo erev ein tzarech litein pas. Now we discuss how the erev is constructed. We're going to see soon. Everyone is supposed to give a loaf of bread. You must give a complete loaf. You cannot give a piece of bread. You have to give a complete loaf. By the way, it's very interesting. No gelach. So tomorrow, as the Mishnah says, it is the min of Yisrael when you have an erev chatzeros every year to renew the erev chatzeros erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, if you're in a building, that's when you're supposed to renew, and that's what it's going to say in the next couple of simanim. Tomorrow, Erev Pesach is when all of the Eruv Chatzeros throughout Klal Yisrael are renewed by the Rabbanim. And here, you're a Rav, you can do it yourself. You make a bracha, and you have one person, Mizaka, Ide Kulam, and Flapish. How many were there in Flapish? Three? at least three, right? No, Eruvim, Flapush. I think there are three Eruvim, three different organizations that have Eruvim Flapush, if I'm mistaken. There used to be
around
one.
We say none.
What?
Around here we say,
none. I also, I don't usually get aware of it, but as far as you hear, there are so tomorrow at least there are going to be three Eruvim Chatzeres going to be made tomorrow for the residents who use the Eruv in this community. Three different Eruvim. Okay, but in any event, the bias, how does it work? So in ancient times, today the way it works is someone buys a box of matzah and you give it to someone and you tell that person, you pick up the matzah, I'm giving it to you, and when you pick up the matzah, the box of matzah, you're being mazaki, you are acquiring it on behalf of the entire community. So everyone in the community doesn't know what's going on. They never were asked to pay for the matzah, they asked to pay for the construction and for the inspection, but they don't have the maintenance. Maybe part of the maintenance goes for the Eruv Chatzeros, whatever it costs a few dollars to buy a box of matzah. But one person acquires the matzah on behalf of the entire community. That's not the way it was in ancient times. Ancient times, people weren't so generous to buy a box of matzah and be mezakeh on behalf of the tzibur. They would go around collecting from each individual family a loaf of bread, a bulka. There are five people in the courtyard. Everyone, someone comes around with a bucket, with a large utensil of a pot. I'm collecting for the Eruv Chatzeros, and you throw in a bagel. You throw in a bulka. And you throw in a bulka. And everyone puts a bulka, and now you have five bulkas in one pot. And this one pot is put in the courtyard in one of the batim, and that will be where everyone is resting. Everyone is considered to be a resident of that bayis. That's a gili milsa. Just like we're all our bread, everyone has given bread, and we're all in this one bayis. That means we're all one big happy family, and you're in my bayis, I'm in your bayis, we're all together.
So, this may sound like a stupid question. Eventually, you use bread.
Yes, so you use matzah in a chanami, so you have to do it every week. Absolutely, 100%. That's why you have to redo it every single week, technically speaking. That's how it was done. It was done, if they use bread, they renewed their Eruv Chatzeros every single week. It was a ritual. Make a bracha and your mezakeh. It adds to the, it's a nice thing to do. It adds to the covenant of Shabbos. What?
Socialization, you mentioned.
Yeah, there's a lot too. You know, it's a lot of these things. It's not just a loophole. This is a takanas chazan. We're going to learn it. You know, it's I'll give you an example. We're going to learn soon the rules of darkei shalom for Eruv Chatzeros are off the charts. You don't find there's always shalom. You know, there's nothing greater than peace, right? You say in Shemona Esrei, Sim Shalom, Shalom. Everything is Shalom, Shalom. Okay, halacha lemaisa, how many things do we do to make sure? Okay, we do things. When it comes to Eruv Chatzeros, we're going to learn soon, there are so many halachas, what to do, what not to do, because if chas v'shalom, if I give a broken piece of bread and you give a full piece of bread, there's going to be enmity. I gave a full loaf of bread and you only gave a prusa, you gave a loaf of bread that's missing, it was cut. I'm better than you. You're cheap, or I'm cheap. There's going to be a fight. Why are we so mad? And then there's so. And if last week we kept the Eruv in this bias, don't even think of changing it to a different bias. If we kept it in one day, second Esses, don't even chomzach to go and move the Eruv to the amazing Esses. And you and go. So you read one halacha. Okay, fine. Okay, another halacha like this. Another halacha like this. And after a while, it's like obsessive. Why are we so makbid on darkei shalom by Eruv Chatzeros? You'll see soon. There's almost an extreme obsessiveness in the laws of darkei shalom by Eruv Chatzeros that you don't find anywhere else. And the answer is because the whole essence of Eruv Chatzeros is a mitzvah with a bracha shalom. Everyone is one big happy family. Arvus, we're all together. We're all together. And therefore, any slight pagan in someone else's honor, or any slight pagan in shalom, is a pegima in darkei shalom. It runs against the grain of what Eruv Chatzeros is all about. And that's why specifically here, we're obsessed with darkei shalom. And what do you take out of this? Eruv Chatzer is not just, oh, we need to carry, so it's just a tircha. There's something positive to Eruv Chatzeros. It's a takanas chazal with a bracha, with a hashkafa. And it's, there's something here. Like Shabbos. Okay, I'm not a chassid, I don't have a rebbe. But by chassidim, there's something about eating fish. Okay, we all eat fish. But there's something kabbalistic. There's something, it's not just time, you have to have a meal, so you need something more to eat, so you go eat a piece of fish. There's something significant about eating fish. There's something significant about eating something hot on Shabbos. This part of the Kedusha Shabbos is to make the Eruv Chatzeros. It's not just, I want to carry, I got a big problem on my head, a big yuch, what am I going to do now? And really, I should better sit in my apartment the whole Shabbos and not go and socialize. It's wrong. It's part of the Kedusha of Shabbos that you should make an Eruv Chatzeros, and you should be able to socialize, and there should be shalom with your chaver. There's something positive, and that's what you take out of Eruv Chatzeros. So here we get some disgusting halachas, and that's why, unfortunately, today, everything today has been reduced to a bare-bones skeleton. Today, Eruv Chatzeros don't even knows that it exists. And you make a brach, whoever heard of this, you open up the siddur and there's a brach. Well, a brach on Eruv Chatzeros. What is going on? And there's a siman shulchan. I haven't even heard of these things today because someone has a box of matzah and they put it away in a storage room and don't even know. The whole thing today lost its time, lost what it's all about. But it's exactly what you hit. Adarabah, it would be a much bigger hitter today if they would use bread, because the bread would spoil. And that means every single Shabbos you would have to make another Eruv Chatzeros. And if you make another Eruv Chatzeros, you would know the halachas. You would know the halachas, it would enhance a million times the Kedusha of Shabbos, the way Chazal wanted Shabbos to be observed. So, Adrabah, it's a chaval that today we do it the wrong way. Yeah. So, Habayis, Shamlichim Boy, Eruv Ain Sochitim Pas. So, here's the rule number one. The bayis, in which Eruv is the pas, we have five bottom, five homes. Everyone is joining the Biyah. Thank you again. We have here five bottom. All five bottom are contributing bread. How many bulkaloch do you need? Only four. The bayis, where the pot of bread, where the plate that has all bulkas, does not need to contribute. That's the ultimate contribution. You can use my facility. So you can use my home rent free. You can put the pot here. It has all the four bulkaloch. That is habayis shemanichem boyo eriv ein tzarech litein pas. Does not need to contribute. The ein tzarech sheyia bo eriv shave put. Another rule. This we're going to discuss in detail in a few moments. The bread does not need to equal a pruta. It does not need to equal one penny, even though bread was cheap in old ancient times. Today it's not cheap. Bread costs money. Nothing is cheap today. The ain tzach shiyeh be'erev shav pruta. The ain manich is a fast that today it's shaykh that a piece of bread is now with shav pruta. Are you talking? There was such a thing. It appears from Shulchan Aruch that there were times where you could buy a loaf of bread for less than a pruta. Half lame a fella. Today, a pruta, let's say a pruta is a certain value of silver. So the value of pruta is the same. Nothing changed. The world didn't change. Value of silver. Today, a pruta, if you want to be machmir, it's less than 10 cents, for sure. It's less than 10 cents a pruta. There's times you can buy a loaf of bread for less than a dime. Unbelievable. Such a world. You may not put the bread in the courtyard. We're dealing here with Eruv Chatzeros. To put the Eruv Chatzeros, you have to put the bread in a bayis. La afuke beishar. Don't put it in a beishar is the porch, the watchman's hut. It's the area in front of the bayis. Achsadra is a porch or mirpeset. That is a balcony. Okay, I'm not exactly sure the halachic terms. Okay, we know we call them a peset, a balcony. That's what it means here as well. It means the same thing here as well. And a beishar is an area in front where a guard would sit. The common denominator of these three things is it's not roi l'dira. You're not going to open up your bed. You're not going to spread out a cot and go to sleep in the beishar, in the achsadra, in the mirpeset. It's not royal ladigo. You must put your loaf of bread in a place where you would actually open up your katalah and go to sleep. Now this is a halacha. This halacha is many laws. This is discussed many halachas. It has to be a room that's 4x4. Where else do we have this requirement? Mezuzah. This is discussed in great detail in laws of mezuzah. You only have to put a mezuzah on a room that's at least 4 amos by 4 amos. 6 feet by 6 feet. Many times you have a shali of a little closet, a little teeny room, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where they're not as spoiled as us to have large rooms. But you have these little small enclosures. We have to maximize space in these little small areas, and it's less than 4 6 feet by 6 feet. Is it chayv in mezuzah? The answer is no. If it's less than 36 square feet, there's no question it's exempt from mezuzah. The big question is, what happens if it's 4 feet by 8 feet, where it's not an exact square? The Mishnah Berurah discussed it over here, and he says, so it's a very big question. So l'chatchila, you should be machmir, I guess, both ways. When it comes to a mezuzah, you can put up a mezuzah without a bracha. And when it comes to the other halacha is, if it's a room that is kosher for a Ruve Chatzeros, you have to put your Ruve Chatzeros in a room that's a bias, and a room. And a room must be at least 4x4. So 4x4, again, the smallest shear 4x4 is 6 feet by 6 feet, which is 36 square feet. And the big dilemma is where it's not an exact square. You have the dimensions, but you have dimensions, but you don't have this. It's not 4x4, it's longer than it is narrow. I'm going to see some little few more lines, and then we'll see the Mishnah Berurah. Vemidich mosa b'chatzu v'elu b'leisu 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 b'leisu. The afilu who shall cut, even if this room belongs to a child. And you'll ask him, what's the chiddush? We'll see him in the Mishnah in one moment. V'yem regilim litnoi tamim b'bayis yadua. If you're accustomed to put it in a certain bias, there are 5 bottom in this courtyard, and it's been the custom from time immemorial to put the Eruv in Reuben's house, Ein Elohem l'shanoso. Do not change the location. V'lidno b'bayis acher b'nei darkei shalom. As we just mentioned, it runs against the grain of what Eruv Chatzeros is all about. The essence of Eruv Chatzeros is achdus, is shalom. If you're going to have even the slightest tinge of shalom, you know, in the real world, there's always fighting, you know. World wars going on every day between neighbors and between family members. That's how the world goes. But when it comes to Eruv Chatzeros, you have to go the extra mile. Otherwise, it runs against the grain of what it's all about. Let's see here some Mishnah Berurah. There's a lot of Mishnah Berurah. Let's just run through it quickly before we run out of time. Let's start from Yud Ches. Seif Katan, Yud Ches in the previous page, is where it's the big gimel. Seif from Yud Ches, Seif Katan Yud Ches, Ein Tzach Lidin Limpas. You don't need the one that is providing is the host for the Erev, does not need to provide bread. The only reason why everyone is getting bread is so that it should be considered as if they're living there. But he actually lives there. It's the ultimate, the host. Only reason why the other residents of the courtyard are providing bread was because it should be as if they're living in this bias. He actually lives in this bias. So there's no need for him to provide bread. There's no need to do anything more. The bread does not need to equal the value of a pruta. Now, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, so here the Mishnah Berurah reveals a sugya in the sechta. I don't know, is it the sechta Shabbos Ervin? This is these laws of Hilchos Eruvin Chatzeros. Are in Masechta Ervin. It's brightest in Masechta Shabbos. I'm not sure. I don't, but why? La fuke madim bezumara that eruv mishum kinyan shabal habayis makne lohem beisay avur apas ulefid zeh hoyotzach sheyed bapas al kolponim shaver puta lach of mamon. There's a sugya in the Gemara. Why do you have to have? Why do you give bread? Why do you give something? So that there should be a business transaction. The Baal Habayis, in exchange for receiving from you money, an object of value, food, I in turn, a makne, give over to you rights in my home. It's business. you, by giving bread, are purchasing living rights in my living quarters, or access or rights to be part, to be a resident in my apartment. If that is what Eruv Chatzer is all about, it's a business transaction. You give me money, I in turn give you rights to my property. We have to look to Chosha Mishpat. We have to follow the laws of business. And the laws of business require that a legal transaction, at least the object that's used to bring about a legal transfer of ownership, is at least worth a pruta. So then every single resident of this courtyard would have to give to the Balabayas a piece of bread that's at least worth a pruta in order to trigger the legal transaction of the Balabayas being makne, transferring rights to live in his bayis. But if it's less than a pruta, then the laws of Chosha Mishpat tell us the legal transaction does not work. Kamash Malon, the Mechaber, and the Mishnah explain that's not the way Erev works. There is no legal business transaction. It's purely a matter of I join you. I'm joining you. The way I'm joining you is I'm putting my pekel here. I'm putting my bread in your house. I'm going to come over and eat it come eat it. I don't need you to be makne to give me to transfer rights in your apartment. There is an opinion in the Gemara that does say that it is a business transaction. Here, the Mechaber is coming to reject that opinion and to tell us the halacha is like the Man Yamar, that it's just a matter of joining together.
Can I just ask something, a practical question? May a woman participate in the Eruv Chatzeres?
She must participate, as far as I know.
Must?
If she is an independent resident, let's say there are five apartments on a floor, and one of them belongs to a woman, a single woman, no husband, no nothing. She's there alone, and there are four other families, and they want to carry. Of course, she must participate. Absolutely, she's no different than anyone else. There are different laws. We're going to learn about a wife giving the heir without the permission, the consent of her husband. That's a whole different story.
That's not this case.
No, we're dealing over here with five apartments, and one is owned by a private woman. Of course, the other, she will forbid the others from using the courtyard unless she also participates. So let's continue. Join together. I'm reading four lines from the top. And that's why you must give bread. If this was a kinyan, a transaction, you don't have to give bread. You can give cash. You can give utensils. You can give your neighbor a hammer. That's good if it's a business transaction where you're makne rishus. But if it's a matter, it's not a business transaction, it's we're joining together, then the only way you establish your residence in his apartment is if you put your food there. So this halacha results in a chumrah, and then each one of the residents of the apartments must provide food and may not give money or utensils. This is a very important halacha.
Buying the bread?
Well, technically, yes. Or some bizman has that we don't do like that. Whoever makes the eruv is generous and is mezake it on behalf of all of them.
So the owner of the apartment he buys the box of matzah.
Well, not necessarily him. Someone. Someone in the courtyard buys a box of matzah.
And is mezake.
And the way you mezake is you give it to someone else. And when that person picks it up, that they're acquiring it on behalf of everyone in this courtyard.
Right.
Now everyone is a joint owner in that box of matzah. And that matzah didn't pay, it's as if they paid for it. Because it was given to them as a gift. It's too tedious today. People are busy. Everyone's on the iPad. on the iPhone. No one has time for this. No one has.
I wish you'd buy some mountains.
No one has time to go and to give. I'll give you a quarter. To make a collection, and then we'll go buy a box of mats. No one has time to go collect from everyone in the apartment a quarter. Who does that? One guy who everyone wants to carry. So one person is generous enough to go and spend $5-$10, depending on what kind of mats you buy, to buy the box of mats. And be mezake it for the entire courtyard. That's enough. Okay, let's go further in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, afuki beishar, davar gam v'shal ashrim came batim, even though beishar is like batim, b'kol makom b'chol b'ein, the ein drisas regel b'chol b'nei chatzer, b'chashdira. This is not a place that we're going to pass also. Okay, let's go further. I discussed some of these things. Let's jump down to Chav Gimel. Okay, Chav Gimel, it says, afilu hu shel kata, even if the room where the Erev is done is even a child. Now this goes back to the same yisod. If the din of an erev chatzer is the din of a kinyan, a child cannot be mizake. But if the din of an erev chatzer is the sheet of yisod, wherever your bread is, that's where you are. It doesn't make a difference if the room where the room where the erev is stored belongs to a child. Chav Gimel, the afilu who kosh hushal katan perush abayis shemichim boy erev hushal katan v'kamash mulan. That the way the Erev works at the end of Kinyan. Everyone is living there together, therefore it doesn't make a difference. Okay, regilu the tamid. Yeah, wherever you put the bread, that's where you put it, and don't make fights. And Mishnah Berurah says, but it's not been established that that's where the Erev goes, then there is no hakpada. You can change it until it's been established where the Erev will rest. Once it's been established that the Erev is, you know, a dead end street, right? You have 10 houses, 20 houses on the block, they all join together, and the house always put in Ruvain's house. Don't ever take the saw. We're going to put the Erev in someone else's house. There's a reason. Why? What's the reason? There's a reason. You ever hear those stories? Why? What's the reason why we should change the Erev from Ruvain's to Shimon's house? What's the reason? Can't tell you. But there is a reason. There's always a reason, a mysterious reason. Ve'afilu yeshlam k'tzas tam bedavar. No, it doesn't make a difference. Im lo de yeshlam tam rabba. The oz mutam l'shano. So you have to have a good reason. If you don't have a good reason, then you're not allowed to change the location. Ve'afilu b'vay sachar. Ve'afilu meis bal habayis. Ve'afilu hashim nesim mos dol nechaser. He said, even Darak Yeshom goes so far. Since I was telling you, he gets obsessive. Let's say the place where the Erev was stored dies. He died. So now you're dealing with the children, or you're dealing with the almana. So since the Iker person is not there, let's put the Erev in someone else's house. No. It's a pagam. Unbelievable. That's how far, because the whole nature of Erev Chatzeres is shalom. Even the smallest pagam in shalom takes away what it's all about. V'afilu meis habal habayis. And there's someone else on the block who wants to pay to have the right, the zchus, to be the host for the Erev Chatzeros. V'afilu Hashem nesim mos dol nechatzer lanich beveis. V'afilu hu talmid chacham, and the other person is talmid chacham. V'afilu rishna am aretz in betchilas hanesina hisnu l'shanois mutu l'shanois. Only time you can change, there was an original condition from the very start. But if there was no condition, it's a pegima, even taking away the bread from an Am Haaretz and taking away the bread from a family who the Baal HaBayis has died.
But if somebody moves out and someone moves in,
of course,
does it stay in that place? Does it stay in that
place? L'chor or not. I would imagine that's already called a whole different story. L'chor or not. I guess every case is different. You have to evaluate the situation. Every case is different.
I like the comment number 32.
Let's see. Let's take a look quickly. V'din zeh shemuel tenai l'shanos kodem shal tashuv chik v'leiv shedav ki imnema she'isur l'shanos v'nei dar kishom hu midrabanon v'chem itam zeh mosu shloik haloch v'yitziu es ha'eri b'veiso e'inim chayom l'hachziroi l'sham b'reban barilets yilorin kosav she'isur l'shanos v'nei dar kishom hu minat ha'era. You can't make it tonight, mitchila. So you can't make a tnai, and if you violate the tnai, you don't have to return it to the original location. Let's see when the shabuim were finished. B'nei darke shalom, ayin ini darke shalom kabechanuhu mishum chashad, suspicion. They're going to say something is wrong with this guy. The parish Rashi, Yechol v'hugol ha'ir b'sorcha oisa ha'bayis, in Basel, Shanas, Makayim, Rech, Nechmasim, Oisa ha'bayis, v'lo yiris ha'ir, yach shidu l'vnei ha'chotzer, shemetaltalin b'li erif. What's the chashad? The chashad is, if until now we have been accustomed to putting the erif in this location, and now the erif is not there, you come and you visit that person's house, and the box of matzah is not where it normally was seen. There's no matzah. That means everyone in this courtyard has been carrying on Shabbos in sin. They're not going to realize, no, the Erev has been transferred to another bias. They're not going to realize that no sin has been committed. The Erev is in someone else's house. But that not everyone knows that the Erev has been transferred. That's not a chashad, a different chashad. A whole different chashat. They're going to suspect the balabais he stole the bread. You know why the box is not here? He got hungry. He ate it up. And not that people have been carrying in sin. No question, the people in this chutz said they for sure had evidence in another location. But why is it in another location? It's because the original balabais stole the erev. And that's why he's an unethical person. That's why we have no choice in the future to put it in a different house. When we talk about Yovelim Machlokes Yimon, we'll come to fight the Leperish Rashi. Bevada Yesh Lachmir Afilu Mimocher Bais LeAcher. Oh, exactly. So what you said? Here's exactly what you said. Rashi Mishu brings it down. I remember that according to Rashi, that the chashad is according to Rashi. Your question was: let's say someone, the guy moves out, and someone buys the house. So if the Tamach Shaz, according to Rashi, that every week they come, they see the boxes here, and now they come and they see the boxes not here, they're going to suspect that people have been carrying in sin. Then even if they sell the bias to someone else, to another party, they expect that's where the Erev is. And now when they see it's not there, they're going to suspect that the Erev is, it's people carrying in sin. That the Chashad is a Ganef. What a god! If he left, he moved to a different community. Then, according to Tosfos, she'ev shalom adal dal lokech lo yovel lichshat al yideh yitzos erev mibeso achrei shemeoil mohoy erev biyado v'yidei kol zeh be'erev shedarko l'nich b'oso b'bayis b'chinam v'chol k'yotze b'zeh. All of these rules apply in a situation where the person who is the host does it for free, but in a situation where they would pay the person to host the erev. But if you're in a situation where the custom was you would tip the person who would host the Erev, then the rules are, then it becomes a business. And the business, everything, then these type of rules do not apply. Or not where he's paid, the other way around, where you pay for the right. Where you pay for the zechus, you want to have the merit of having it in your house, then you have to, if the rules change. Everyone agrees in every situation where if they did, they transfer it. What happens if they made a mistake? And they took the Erev out of its original location, they put it in a new location. Do you have to return it to the original location? The answer is no. Once a mistake has been made, and that's what the supplement to the Mishnah Berurah from the Dirshu says, that's because Dark Yesham is Midrabanan, if a mistake was made and was transferred to different bias, you don't have to return it to the original bias. Unless, of course, but let's say
you notify all the participants.
What?
Should you notify them?
Definitely, absolutely, because the Chashad goes two ways. But if he wants to, he can. If you want to put it back in the original location, you can do so. Because now maybe they'll come to suspect him. Now, once you stop moving around, musical chairs, everyone becomes a suspect. So where does the ball stop? When you start moving it around, all this, Mishnah Berurah says, Sarach Iyun L'mais. Okay, so we'll stop here.